Are you working on your author career but struggling to get that first book published? Does the goal of being an author seem too lofty? Or are thoughts of having multiple books and making a full-time living are as fantastical as living in Cinderella's castle? Welcome to Discovered Wordsmiths, a podcast where aspiring authors can be heard. Join Stephen Schneider as he finds and talks to authors you may not know, but authors that have gotten their foot on the author career path. Hear what they've done to get there and where they want to go now. Settle back. It's time for a bit of inspiration and advice. Come listen to today's Discovered Wordsmith.
Larry, welcome to the podcast. I appreciate you taking some time for this today.
It's a pleasure, Stephen.
Great. Let's get started with a little bit about who you are, where you live, and a little bit about your life outside of writing.
Well, I was born in India, and so I traveled with my parents quite a bit when I was young. We left India and went to England, and then from England we went to South Africa, and then up to Rhodesia. Now, all that happened before the age of six.
Wow.
And so I grew up in Rhodesia. So I'm pretty much a product of that country, even though I wasn't born there. I went to school in a little town called Bulawayo. It's actually the second largest city in the country. And I ended up going to university in what was then Salisbury and now Harare. So when I left university, I took out articles with a firm of chartered accountants. And so I ended up being a finance person in industry. And I spent most of my working life in manufacturing. But I spent some time not only in Bulawayo and Salisbury, but also in Johannesburg. I took a break from Johannesburg to go to Hong Kong for a short while, 6 months. And when I got back to Rhodesia, I was called up for the army because that's when Rhodesia was having its Bush War. And I stayed there till the end of that period and then decided that this was now 1979, that for my family's sake, I needed to find somewhere else. And so I came to Australia. So now I live in Melbourne. My first wife and I divorced, so I'm on my second marriage and been married for, almost 24 years. So in Australia, I continued working. I swapped over mainly to general management, and I worked in industry and then later on, a little bit in service industries. And then I gave up work in 2013. Initially, my idea was to do a little bit of foreign currency dealing, but I decided that was a bit too much like gambling. And so I went to my second choice, which was writing. So over here in Melbourne, these days, my main interest is walks with my wife, reading, dining out. And the other thing I love doing is learning about the technical side of the writing or the self-publishing business, because there was an incredible number of softwares that I had to learn to end up in the position of a published book. And I've pretty well done everything myself, built my own website, completely gone from beginning to end. And I wasn't really a tech person, so it possibly took me longer than it should, and it took away from my writing. But I've really enjoyed the learning process.
Well, so that was going to be my next question, what kind of got you into writing, which we covered. But let me ask one question about your background. You moved around a lot. Was that your father, your family, or jobs, or they just wanted to?
It was because in those days it was right at the end of the 40s, and people after the war were looking for work. So my father was first of all in England and then in South Africa, nothing. And eventually people said, well, go north to Rhodesia. That country is really booming. So that's the reason.
For that. Okay. And so now you're in Australia, which I think is really kind of great. That's someplace I wouldn't mind going to visit sometime, as long as the spiders aren't going to eat me.
but it's probably no worse than the US. I know people like to say there's so many ways that you can get killed in Australia, but it's the same in everywhere I've been anyway.
Yeah, that's true. But I think visiting someplace like Australia would be pretty fascinating. I've been up north to Canada. That's as far out of the country as I've really gotten. And really, it's like a stone throw away for me.
Yes. I think the thing about Australia is the climate is so different from what you'd possibly expect. Yes. You know, overall, we're a much warmer country, I think, than the northern parts of the U.S.,
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So, Larry, you mentioned you got into the publishing. We'll talk about that in a second. I have some questions there. But tell us about your book first. Tell us a little bit about what it's about and why you decided to write that story.
Okay. If I can just go back a step, Stephen.
Okay.
Why did I want to start writing? Well, actually, I never did. The reason I ended up writing is people kept on saying to me I should.
But okay.
In fact, I hated writing because to me writing was school essays, university assignments, board reports, tenders, this sort of thing. And I really didn't like writing. But people, I think, thought, you know, you've had an interesting life. I've sort of been in a lot of the hot spots where history was happening. So I think people are saying, why don't you write about it? But I was, in some parts of it, too young to know much about it. But the idea about why don't you write? In 2010, I got pneumonia, and I was ill for quite a long time, 8 weeks. And a family member bought me a novel, and it was a novel set in Africa in parts that I knew. And I suddenly thought, well, you know, maybe I'll do this sometime. So 3 years later, when I stopped working, I still didn't go for it straight away. But in about 2015 was when I really thought, well, maybe I should write. And what I discovered is writing fiction is a lot more fun than business writing or, you know, assignments. You're writing about what you want to write about, and it's a lot like reading, but obviously a little slower. So that's why I started writing, and the reason I wrote the book I wrote is because that's where I grew up. I know the place so well. I know the people so well. And it's now set in Zimbabwe, which is the new name for what was Rhodesia. So it just seemed natural. But the book that I was given by my relative when I was sick was my inspiration, because I read it and I thought, you know, I think I could do this. The actual journey has been a lot harder than I imagined at that time. But that's why I wrote the book I wrote. The book is set in Zimbabwe, and it's about a person who loses their job in the global financial crisis, someone living in Melbourne, who was born and brought up in Zimbabwe up to his teenage years, but goes back half expecting that it'll be the same while knowing it isn't. And it's what he goes back and what he finds and the trouble he ends up getting into because of his, he's just the way that he is. You know, he's someone who can't not stay involved in a way. So it's...
Real quick, what's the title of the book, Larry?
The book is called Feeding the Leopard. And the leopard is the main antagonist in the book.
Okay.
And it's not a leopard. It's a nickname of an individual.
Okay. So I know I ran across your book. I really loved that cover. So you wrote about this story. Obviously, it sounds like growing up, moving around, some of the places you've been inspired some of this. And you said it took a while. Did you find, what was the hardest part for you? The writing, the craft? You said you got into the publishing, but what took a while for you?
I think I spent a lot of time editing. The other thing is because I'm one of those people who just loves learning new things, I went down a little side avenues like learning HTML and spent quite a while on my website. So while the book itself, I think writing was almost the easiest part. Editing I didn't enjoy, but it was satisfying in the end because it helped improve things. But, you know, really I made work for myself. And I know from all – I listened to a lot of podcasts and training from people on the net. And they say you can do it the easy way. In other words, do my course, and it only costs $1,000. Or you can do it the hard way and spend a long time and spend a lot of money working it out yourself. Well, I haven't spent a lot of money, but I have spent quite a bit of time. It's been an enjoyable experience. The writing experience was a big surprise. I never thought I'd enjoy it, but I did. The learning of all the softwares, and I've had to learn for my purposes how to deal with well over 30 different types of software programs, well over 30, may even be 40 by now, to achieve the end result. And I've enjoyed all that. The one thing is a little bit of a drag is the editing, but I think I've found a way to improve that as well.
So, okay. So what are the programs that you're talking about that you used for the writing, for the publishing?
Well, I originally wrote in Microsoft Word. And I then discovered Scrivener. But although I do my initial writing in Scrivener, I spend most of my time in Microsoft Word because of the editing aspect. I use a program for editing, apart from my own personal editing, called Pro Writing Aid. And I think without Microsoft Word and Pro Writing Aid, I'm not sure I would have wanted to write a second book. Pro Writing Aid is almost more important than Microsoft Word because it can be used with other word processing programs, including Scrivener. Mm-hmm. But it is critical because it's taken the boring part of editing out of editing. So from the one of the biggest holdups I had was the cover, not the image, not putting the words on the image, but just working out how to do it, because I published through Ingram Spark as well as Amazon, and just working out the whole process. I started out using Canva for the cover, but I ended up with using InDesign because it has that wonderful little red dot or green dot at the bottom that tells you if your cover for print has any mistakes in it. And if it does, a red dot comes up, it tells you where the mistake is and what it is. And then, of course, doing the PDF through Adobe Acrobat, and the professional paid version of Adobe Acrobat also has something called pre-flight. And that tells you all the things, all the problems you might have in having your cover printed. As far as the interior goes, I originally formatted it 100% through Microsoft Word, going through all the little details in Amazon. But then, you know, the problem, when you justify, the gaps between the words can be uneven. And someone suggested a formatting service called Bookow. It's a Bookow index on the internet. And Bookow, that's Bookow, just makes it so easy to format the interior of the book, and it looks very neat and professional. So although I could do my own formatting, I decided to use that service just for the look of the end result. Technically,
that's one I haven't heard of before. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Are you there, Stephen?
Yeah. I was just saying that Bookow, that's one I haven't heard before, so I'll have to look that up. Go ahead, continue.
I'd strongly recommend Bookow. As I say, it's Bookow Index on the internet. So that's the only outside service that I'm using, even though I spent time learning how to do it myself. I suspect he does it in InDesign, but it makes life a lot easier. But there's so many other things. You've heard of Calibre. I used Calibre to get my, the EPUBs and Mobi, and I used those to get ready to go on to BookFunnel, where you can put out your books to your beta readers. And I find that a very easy and helpful program to use. So I've been through quite a large selection of programs.
So a lot of authors really like the writing part and the creating part, but then they get to the more technical aspects with the software and the website and things, and they just really can't stand it. They don't like that. Why do you think you enjoy it so much, but you still enjoy writing?
Well, I just love learning new things. And, if it's relevant to what I'm doing, if I see there's a program that someone says, oh, this is very useful, I really start looking into things like that. But it's very satisfying. I think the main reason I do that as well, or another main reason, an example would be my website, because I designed the whole thing myself. And it drove me mad at times because the advice and support wasn't that helpful in my theme. But what I was wondering or thinking was every time I want to make a change, and I'm always looking for improvement, so I'm a sort of a person of endless change, if you like, I would have to find someone who knew how to do it, and they would charge me a healthy fee, which would discourage me from doing what I wanted. That's why I felt I had to do everything myself. But I just enjoyed the process. You know, I can use programs that I never thought I'd ever understand, and I never certainly intended to use them. But the whole process of self-publishing, you need to be flexible and look at all this. And I'm glad I did it this way because, you know, I've come through the tunnel a little bit. And looking back, it's been such a boon to be able to do things myself. But it's hard at the beginning.
Yes, and I totally understand that. I'm a computer programmer by day, so working with the software and doing that has never bothered me, my website and things. Now, I don't have the graphical chops to make things necessarily look good, but I have the technical skills. If you give me what looks good, I can get it live or make it work.
Yes. Yes, so, no, I can understand that. I mean...
Go ahead.
Sorry, carry on, Stephen. No, I can completely understand what you're saying. We're not equally good at all the different facets, right. But it's fun trying.
Right. So you mentioned a second book that you're working on. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Is it a sequel to the first book?
Yes, it is. It is. I'm actually planning for it to be a three-part series. The second book is called The Bulawayo Boys Club. Now, Bulawayo was the city where I grew up. It is a sequel to the first one, but my series is slightly different to most in that my series is not based on the protagonist, it's based on the antagonist. So part of the reason for that, I like happy endings. And if you have a happy ending, especially if it's a happy ever after, it makes it a bit difficult for the same protagonist to come back and put themselves in danger and risk everything. So I thought, well, look, it's easier to have the antagonist as the thread through the series. The other people will pop in and out of the other books, but especially in the third book, you'll see more of the protagonists in the series. But I've really made the link, the antagonist and his organization.
Got it. Well, that's interesting. That's a slightly different take on series and sequels. When you were growing up, obviously, moving around had some influence. You used some of the places you lived. Besides the locations, did you read a lot? And if so, what are some of your favorite authors and books?
I did read a lot, but only as a, you might say, up until I went to university. After that, everything was textbooks for about over 30 years. It was only when I was given that book when I was ill, which was a novel. That was the first novel I'd read in all that time. Since then, I have read a lot, and I read in the genre. So I don't think in terms of my favorite author being this person because their style of writing or whatever. I tend to be drawn to anyone who's writing in the genre. But in the genre, and again, I'm not a person, I'm not a literary fiction person. I'm more a general fiction, trade fiction type person. That's my reading interest. But when I have read literary fiction, I must say it's been quite revealing. My very favorite book and is called Half a Yellow Sun. It was written by a Nigerian author called Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie. She now lives in the US, and her style of writing, you know, really makes you invested in her characters. But basically, the authors I've read apart from her is John Gordon Davis, who wrote a book called Hold My Hand, I'm Dying. That was about the last days of Rhodesia. And then, of course, there's Wilbur Smith and current author Tony Park. They both write about Southern Africa, which is the area that interests me and the area that I write in. So I've read a lot of their books, all of those authors.
I haven't even heard of some of those.
Well, you've heard of Wilbur Smith, probably.
Yeah, that one rings a bell.
Yeah, but the others are not as well known, except to people who love reading about Africa.
And that's one of the great things I like about finding new authors and this podcast is you don't hear the same things over and over. You know, you hear a lot of authors, younger kids, you know, oh, I read Harry Potter and I wanted to write. You know, everybody's heard about those books. It's really nice to get some books that you may not have heard of that could become your next favorite book, your next favorite author. Who knows? I like reading in a wide variety.
Well, Half a Yellow Sun is set in Nigeria. So it's not Southern Africa, which is my area, but it is close enough for me to recognize pretty much everything. And it was set in the Biafran War. But it's not about the war. It's about the reaction and the lives of the people who aren't involved in the army or anything, but it's sort of building up in the background. And as I say, you really get invested in the characters. It is such, such brilliant writing. And that really, I suppose you could say, is literary fiction. And that ended up being my very favorite book. But I spend most of my time on other authors writing general fiction about Africa. John Gordon Davis is dead. Wilbur Smith and Tony Park are still going.
I'll definitely have to make some links in the show notes to some of those for people that are interested. So Larry, do you have any advice you'd give someone that's still struggling to get their first book out?
Well, advice, I suppose, one of the things I learned when I wrote my first book, and that book, every chapter has a date, and some of those dates are very specific on a certain day. I would avoid being too specific about dates, because a couple of things happened. One, I had my characters staying in a safari lodge at a certain time of the year, only to discover that that particular safari lodge actually had been burnt down and hadn't reopened at that time. So I had to rewrite that part of the book to make it a month later when the lodge did open. The other thing is people are crossing the Zambezi in a canoe. Now, the problem there is when the flow is very strong, that is not a sensible thing to do. But there are times of the year when you can do that. So you have to watch all these little things. If you've got a specific date like I had and the people are enjoying their view of the full moon, someone can look that up and say, hang on, there was no full moon on that date. So I would avoid dates, definitely. But, you know, if someone asked me what to write, what do you need? I mean, you don't have to go through almost 40 different softwares to write. I would say you need just two things. For me, it's Microsoft Word and Pro Writing Aid. Simply because they have made my life so simple for writing. And I don't think I'd write if those two didn't exist.
So yeah, I use Pro Writing Aid myself.
You do? Uh-huh. It's such a wonderful thing, I think. You know, I'm just thinking, the other thing is, don't allow people to rush you. When you tell people you're going to write, and I think it's a good idea, if you're serious about it, it's a good idea to tell people, because that helps motivate you. But don't let people rush you, because they'll keep on saying, how's your book? Have you put it out? Have you published it as yet? No, I haven't, but it's been 2 years. Yeah, it won't be long. And then at 3 years, you're saying it won't be long. But keep going until you are ready. Now, I don't mean perfection. You'll never reach perfection. But just make sure you make a decent fist of it. I think the other thing is, when you write, I would say aim for a word count. Look at your genre, see what the typical word count is, and then you've got something to aim for. Now, I made the mistake of looking at a Wilbur Smith book. Now, he's an established author, and he's got long books. So my initial word count was 150,000 words. And then I discovered, oh, no, you know, for an unknown like me, you should really, you know, be 100,000. You know, I think 100,000 is actually a bit tight, about 110 for me, really. But aim for a word count. I think that puts some discipline into your writing. Yeah, so those are the main things I would say. Coming back to that Pro Writing Aid, I've had a lot of people object to the idea of an editing software, saying that, oh, it's going to make all your writing the same. But if you understand how it's structured, it doesn't force you to write one way or another. It just suggests where you may have gone off the path. And it's up to you how you change it. And I found that, have another look at this paragraph or this area. I found that really helpful. It hasn't changed what I want to say and the style I write, but I think it's made my writing better because it has pointed out where I've used the same word too many times, where I've misused the placement of commas. So it helps improve your writing. And it makes suggestions without making everyone uniform. That's my belief.
Yeah, and I like it if you use it to learn from and you don't just blindly follow everything it says.
Exactly.
It's definitely a good learning tool. And I know I feel my writing has gotten better just by taking out like was in sentences. And I used to start a lot of sentences with an ing word. And it like was almost ridiculous.
Yeah. I still suffer from was and were. But one thing it did is, you know, the pronoun, starting a sentence with a pronoun. I used to struggle with that in the beginning, and now I never do. So it's really helped enormously.
Right. Train yourself a little bit.
Yes.
So, Larry, tell us again the name of your book and where we can find it.
Well, Feeding the Leopard is available online. It's published both by KDP and Ingram. And so you can buy it in pretty much anywhere online. The other thing is you can walk into your bookshop and ask them to order it for you.
Right.
And amazingly, I find that the price is not that different from books that the bookshops sell. So it's pretty much the same.
And do you find living in Australia that that's any type of barriers to getting the book out in the rest of the world?
No, no. In fact, I was very surprised to see how widespread my book was, because different distributors pick it up from Ingram. So you've got, you know, AB Books and all, it's everywhere. Nice. So no, it wasn't a problem.
Good. Well, great. Well, Larry, I really appreciate you taking some time to talk with me today. You had some great, interesting advice there. I think hopefully some people will listen to this and say, hey, you know, if this guy can write a book based on his life and, you know, he's not 20 years old, I think that could be really inspirational to some people.
Yeah, I think everyone has something to say about their life, and it's a different view from every person.
Yeah.
So that way is quite simple. Stephen, if I can just mention my second book, The Bulawayo Boys Club, that will be out probably this week.
Oh, and well, I'll have to follow up because this podcast probably won't be live for a couple of weeks, so it might be out by the time this goes live. We can link to it.
I think it will be. The other thing, I've written a short book. At this stage, I've called it Writing My Novel, An Unexpected Education, which is eeringly similar to our discussion today. I've got all in there. I've got all the different softwares I've used, and I've got it's not a how-to book. There's a lot of how-to books out there. It's my experience of writing my first novel, how I felt at various stages, and so on. And that will be
a memoir,
a writing memoir in a sense. But it's short. It's only going to be maybe 25,000 words or something, but it's that'll be out very shortly as well, and then I'll continue writing the third in the series.
Great. Well, I also like to follow up with people 6 months to a year afterwards, so I'd love to talk to you again and find out your third book, if it's out and any of that, but also to find out if you've had any spiders try and eat you.
Yes.
Great.
Yes, sure.
Well, Larry, thank you for taking the time to talk with me. It was wonderful.
Can I just say, Stephen, that my website.
Oh, yes, is absolutely.
LTK.com. And it's the LT. And the K is K-A-Y, so it's just one word, ltk.com.
Well, it's nice to get the website that's your name, exactly what you want. That's hard nowadays.
And yes, and the Facebook is facebook.com/ LTKs with an S after the K, LTKs2. And those are the two places that I'm on. I'll look at Instagram, but I haven't got going on it as yet.
Yeah, I don't do Instagram either.
Yeah, everyone's saying you should.
Well, I've still got to work on figuring out getting things together on the website and then advertising with Amazon and Facebook and stuff. Then I'll move on to something else. Like you, learn it first.
Yes. Stephen, I tried to look up your website or your Facebook. Could you tell me yours, please?
Sure. S-A-Schneider, S-C-H-N-E-I-D-E-R.com.
Okay. And your Facebook I can find from there?
Yep. S.A. Schneider Auth, A-U-T-H.
Okay. Excellent. Good. It was good to talk, Stephen.
Yes. It was great talking to you, Larry. I appreciate you taking the time down under there.
No, it's a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to Discovered Wordsmiths. Come back next week and listen to another author discuss the road they've traveled, and maybe, sometime in the near future, it might be you.